Who's in charge here? Okay. Thank you for telling me that. I've started to record. Gah. Like, of all the conversations it's important to record, this is one of them, right? For those of you just joining
us. But did that make sense? What I was just saying about the the JSON encoding and the get payload, if you use the URL shortening as it's described in 434.
Yes, it does. But what I'm hoping that we can come up with something a little bit more generic so that when we go modify the text and attachments, we can say the right thing. So
yeah, absolutely.
So Bengo's comment here said basically if there's a plus or a slash, it's base64, right? If there isn't, then it's base64 URL. Either because it is base64 URL, or because none of those characters show up in base64 URL will work anyway. Right. So I agree this makes ugly code, but it's actually something we could do go forward, and we can actually use AIP2 as kind of a community coordinated update here.
Yeah. Yep.
So if we go modify the attachments RFC to say base64 URL, and then we add a note that says this used to be base64, here's how you tell, then I think that it provides us a consistent way of doing this. And then at some point in the future, after we've done the secondary work of replacing all of the other ones in practice, then we have a party and we rip out the, is there a plus or a slash in this string code that tells the difference? Right? Does that seem like a reasonable way forward?
Yeah.
So I've got four RFCs down that would need to be changed. 453, 346, 74, and 17. 17 would be the one we'd need to start with, and then there's cascading changes in the other ones. VidCon best practices is one of these, so that's not an actual code example. We would just need to note probably the same information that we put in 17.
Yep.
And then we have issue credential. And what was my last one? Let's see, 74, 346 and 453. This one, DIDCOM between two mobile agents is also referenced here. And so this is also just a text change. So we have two ones with changes and then two other descriptions. And this may actually not be correct anymore anyway.
That's entirely possible. Also possible that it wasn't correct when I wrote it.
Okay. So we have two text to that. And then we basically want to add some stuff that says, here's how to replace it. Right. Okay.
Time to do it.
Do we have any volunteers? This is a pretty straightforward, I think. And we've just figured out which RFCs need to be updated here.
I'll do it.
All right. Steven has volunteered. Thank you, Steven. All right. Back to pull requests. We're going to move past that one. Up to please simplify the ACK decorator. This is submitted by Timo.
Hold on, one more thing to wrap up. What I'd like to do is accept that change and then add 17 on it. It doesn't affect AIP1. And then we can pick it up. And then it's done throughout the repo, and I add the attachments piece and possibly something into AIP2 itself as another note. Is that okay?
That means it, well, I wasn't going to change present proof and issue credential. Oh, but we kind of have to.
It doesn't really matter because AIP1 ties down the version we're using for AIP1.
It does. And we have behavior that we're suggesting for backwards compatibility processing, which means if you put in the backwards compatibility processing code, it's still going to function.
Yeah.
Even though it's a little ugly.
Yeah. I think I like Steven's strategy.
Okay. Does anyone not like that strategy of accepting this particular PR, which is 561, and then adding the additional text on top of it? It is going to need an update that may be a little ugly given its age.
Says it can
I'll
do
see
it
if I can that. Get. I'll see if I can get the update to be clean, so yeah. Steven can just merge it.
Okay,
that would be helpful. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, that's a good plan then. Steven's going to merge it and then submit a new PR with the language updates around how to handle the conversion. Okay, Timo submitted 644 to simplify the ACK decorator that we had conversation last time, and there has been new changes. Let me see if it'll actually pretty print the new changes for me. So what we did is we added the on back to an array, even though we only planned to define one initially. No, we still left on outcome because that's right. We decided that protocols would define their own outcomes place in the protocol. Timo, any other commentary on this?
No, I changed it back. I tried to set describe a default behavior for outcome. And I updated the issue credential present proof protocols to override it because they don't fit with how outcome is described in this in the please act decorator.
Excellent.
So how I what I did now is that the credential in whole, for example, for issue credential is accepted. That means outcome and acknowledgement can include the business logic behind it for acknowledgement. So it's not just validating that the credential you received is not revoked and has a valid signature, but also that the contents of the credential are valid. If we don't want that, we can change it. But I thought you probably want to, I mean, if you need to do the business logic check often, and you can set an acknowledgement if it's valid. If it's not, you probably want to send a problem report or abandon it, stating why it wasn't valid.
Right. Any commentary on that outcome behavior?
Plus one for me.
Yeah, this is fantastic, Timo. This like encapsulates everything we talked about last week really, really well.
Yep.
Nice.
Excellent. Okay, this is a week old. Is there anyone opposed to merging 644, the simplification of the please act decorator? Awesome. Hey, Steven, you want to do that?
Yep.
Okay. Then we are on to, this should have been tagged and I didn't tag it. It says tagged here. I must have just, anyway, that's okay. So this is, this is the out of band 434. And we had some conversation that was excellent about, I think that was Keith's fault, but we had that conversation that brought up some really important issues talking about the public did in the service block. A little bit of history here. When we first designed this mechanism, we didn't have the peer did num algo 2. What that allows is for a did key like structure, but that includes multiple keys and or a service block as just part of the did, which means that some of the assumptions made here are no longer true, because you can actually have a did that is a self-certifying identifier that contains an endpoint and all the information, which means that if you're going to reuse a message, you actually don't need to have a ledger published did. It can be any did that is simply used in that manner. And as long as you consistently use the same did in invitations, in out of band invitations, then you'll be able to correlate and reuse connections in that manner. So my language here has to do with that change here. So there's a few modifications. I eliminated nearly every usage of the word public because it didn't seem to be clarifying anything. And then I clarify there's an example here that basically says, hey, if you want to actually do this, to reuse this, then simply instead of using a service block, then simply encode it in the pure did namago 2, and I link that, and then these are the changes as necessary. There's fewer changes here than it looks like because of the of how this works. The same PR also has the GUID ectomy that I promised in the URL shortening, that you just generate a unique URL for shorten out of band messages. And then, so I sort of compress these top comments with corrections into just a few. I also had a change here that requires that the sender must invalidate the URL after message retrieval or after an expiration time to prevent unattended parties from retrieving and copy the message. I also changed this from a should not to a must not, given this requirement for a URL shortener, unless it supports invalidating the URL. So I changed the language there from a should not. I stole the sentence from the previous one and changed it from a should not to a must not, unless. There's also, here's a couple other, I changed this from public to publicly displayed to be more clear, and I removed the unresolved issue about reusing connections without a public did. Any thoughts or comments? This hasn't been out for a week. That we don't have a requirement for that, but I don't think there, it has no comments, so I don't know that lots of folks have seen it. Any questions, commentary? Is this aligning with what everyone thought in their mind when we talked last week?
Looks good.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're happy, Keith?
Yes. I do hesitate here, but I have another comment on this RFC. I wonder if I should bring up now.
Speak now or forever hold your peace, my man.
Yeah. So I think you know, if I'm understanding this correctly with regard to this is a different topic about attachment processing. If you want to have a reusable invitation or out of bound message, and you want it to be processed by, let's say, an edge agent, I think if you have a reusable invitation or reusable out-of-band message, then I think we are tying it to requiring that you generate some of the attachment information uniquely at URL shortening resolution time. Let me try to repeat that. Let's say you have an invitation that you want to be reused. Well, if it's a single use, you generate the attachment message, and let's say that it's a credential offer. Well, inside of that credential offer is a, you know, is the actual indie, you know, the call to make an offer that has a nonce in it. It's only usable one time. If we're using reusable, if it's to be used multiple times, the only way I see to make that work is that we go through the URL shortener, and when every time someone resolves that URL, and that you generate a new credential offer inside of that attachment, each time. That also has implications for edge agents. And I know we have some use cases in which we would like for an edge agent to be able to generate these out-of-band messages. And there is no standard way for an edge agent to, you know, to host a URL shortener, you know, like if it wanted to use the mediator or some other thing to do it. Okay. Let me just stop there.
Okay, so there's a couple things there.
Yeah.
One is, I think that let me approach them in easiest to address order. Yes. So yes, if a mobile agent, the mobile agent, there's no requirement that the agent host the URL itself. It just needs to coordinate for the hosting of the URL.
Yep.
Right? Which allows a mobile agent to do so. It can use the mediator or it could use another service and that would be fine. You are correct that we don't yet have standardized protocols on how to coordinate that. I think that that would be a valuable addition, but I don't know it precludes the accepting of this and moving forward for the cases that don't involve that particular.
I agree.
Okay. So I think we have agreement there. The, on generating a custom message on retrieving a shortened reusable URL, I was trying to be generic enough as how I wrote this, that you might have a URL intended to be used multiple times. Maybe it needs a customization thing, like the example you gave where the nonce needs to be different. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just a standard message. It's okay if you intend the message to be retrieved multiple times, right? But after the usable life of that URL has expired, it needs to be invalidated. So it doesn't say after a single message retrieval. Maybe I could be a little more explicit in this language here, but the point here was that as soon as it's done, you need to invalidate it. If you have a multi-use scenario, it may be retrieved multiple times before it's actually done. I don't explicitly mention the generation of a custom message here, but in my mind, that is not in violation of this RFC.
Okay.
I'm very curious about other topics or opinions here.
Yeah, I think the devil is in the details, and I'm not sure how many people have, you know, tried to implement all the cases, and maybe people are doing different, you know, just single use or things, but it, to not be able to have control to do things at URL shortening time, which that really complicates things though for an edge agent, even if you do it in a proprietary way. And I think there are some, if forget the credential offer case, if it's a proof request, which I think is probably more general, more common, that is, I think if we specify, let's say when I generate my my attachment, I put an at ID field into my message that's unique. If I want that to be reusable, the only thing I would have to change in this RFC is to say instead that whenever the invitee is processing the invitation, then it processes that attachment, that it generates its own unique ID. Because there's nothing from a proof verification standpoint that requires crypto to be done like it does in the credential offer case. I'm wondering if it's worth, if anyone thinks that it is worth the case of being able to have to simplify, to not do things at URL shortening time, but we want to have reusable proof request. I think there's a way to do it by massaging the language in the RFC. Otherwise, I just say the language in the RFC, I think is a little bit vague to me in terms of, I assume right now that when I generate an attachment, that I should use that attachment as is, that message, that in the invitee, I should process that message exactly as it is.
That's how it's intended currently. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's okay. a couple things out of this. One is that I don't believe in this spec, and particularly in the URL shortening section, that we talk about dynamically generated URLs out of the shortener. But I, in my mind, that's a completely valid use case. It could also be static, right? But it can be dynamically generated. Yeah. I am more nervous about the concept of pieces of the message being created by the recipient.
Yeah,
by the invitee, simply because that bucks the convention of the fact that the sender is always responsible for the message ID. And of course, it's a super terrible idea to allow people to choose their own nonce. You didn't suggest that, but if you were going to apply concept to, you know, to protocols with a nonce, then that would be a bad plan.
Of course, yeah, and in fact, yeah, forget the. Yeah, I proposed it. I think it's a bad idea too.
I've done that too. So, okay. So one of the questions though, is that I don't say anything about dynamically generated messages out of a URL shortener. This spec does not allow it. It doesn't forbid that, but it doesn't mention it. Any comments on whether we should mention it or just leave it as it is?
I'm looking at your screen and I see it literally said there, a sender may decide to wait to generate the full invitation until the redirection event of the shortened URL to the full length form dynamic so that the single QRL can be used for distinct out of band messages. Isn't that what we're talking about?
That is what we're talking about. Well, perfect. I didn't write that. It must have been you, Stephen. I'm going to blame you.
I'm pretty sure I wrote that because certainly that was the intention. And we actually had that very much that use case and wanted to be absolutely sure that was in there.
Oh, it's in there. Never mind then. Perfect. Solved. Done.
Okay. All right. So my only point is that this has this means that it's not as usable for an edge agent unless you do some proprietary protocol between your
or propose a common one. But there are no defined protocols for doing such. There could be, and then it would allow that case to be used.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just.
Right. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Sorry.
No worries. Excellent. Okay. Any other commentary on this? Is anyone opposed to merging 650? Okay. You want to merge that one too, Stephen?
Yep. Got it. And I'm going to have to go in 5 minutes. What? So somebody else is going to have to take over merging.
Perfect. Okay, 651. This was another one of my homework items from last week. This adds method to static pure DIDs. Daniel, this probably is mostly of interest to you. You wrote 627, and you said, "Hey, we're only targeting 0 and 1," and I expanded that to 0, 1, and 2. Along the spirit of the fact that it's a static peer did, and not that we're doing that dynamic stuff, but I also wrap it into 2. You also had a sentence here that said method 2 is promising, but not required for compliance. Given what we just talked about in the other, in the out of band stuff, then it seems like with what we're recommending there, adding 2 would bring this into alignment with that.
I don't have any heartburn about adding 2. The reason I didn't put it in before is because I perceived there to be more of an adoption hurdle if we added in method 2 as well. So it's up to the people on the call whether they feel like that's asking too much or if it's totally fine. But I like method 2. I just didn't think that we were feeling ready to adopt it in AIP 2. If we are, so much the better. That's awesome. I haven't heard anything for a full Nathan. Is that because everybody's just pondering this difficult question, or did I lose my audio?
Your audio is fine.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually did say something briefly, but I forgot to unmute. So,
all right, Devin. I mean, I would, if I was to vote, I would vote for keeping it more simple. But I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff in AIP too. So unless there's a compelling use case for it, that would be my leaning.
The big compelling use case is the reusable DIDs, the reusable non-ledger published DIDs and out-of-band messages as brought up by Keith. And that motivated the changes to the previous the previous conversation, yeah, right? The previous, sure, PR. So because we can't, the language changes there allows for non-ledger DIDs to be used, except that the only way to use a non-ledger DID is to have a DID that also contains endpoint information, which isn't possible with method zero, which is pure DIDs basically, or which is DID key. And so method two is basically that extension. It's that, but it allows for multiple keys and or endpoints to be specified.
I understand everything you said. Right. I'm still just saying that's where I'm leaning.
Other comments? I think the type of effort required to support method two, in addition to did key, is actually relatively small. I don't think it's a huge ask, but I'm opinionated because I wrote it. So I don't know that I can vote on this particular issue with any sense of weight. Thoughts for, thoughts against?
The big question comes down to that use case. How many are likely to use that use case? Putting in and out of band a what amounts to a peer did that you're then going to rotate out of after the completion.
I'll also mention
that allows reuse. So you can, I think it's a reasonably important because you don't have to have a ledger. One on the ledger, a DID on the ledger at all in order to initiate a connection and get reuse out of it. That's pretty powerful.
That is powerful. I will also mention this is not the DIDCOM V2 prep thing, except that DIDCOM V2 is going to, I think, use fairly extensive use of method two.
Yeah. Yep.
Because we don't have DID exchange anymore. Yeah. Which means that that's what makes it happen. If you want to use something ephemeral, then that's what makes it happen.
I agree with Stephen on this, that the capability to have reuse with a non-ledger based DID is a pretty high value add.
Kate, I think that's the comments. Do we merge or do we not merge? Devin, do you have any final words on this? You voted for simplicity and not adding it yet.
Well, I mean, I guess the only concern I have is just like, you know, we need everything that we add to the AIP2 is just going to delay when various members of the community can say they are compatible with it. I mean, the more that's in there, just the further out it is before everybody is compatible with it. So, I mean, you know, that's that, you know, that should be on everybody's mind. If we feel like there's a lot of value in being AIP2 compatible as a community, the more we put in there, the longer it'll be before we achieve that value. So we just got to decide whether, you know, whatever thing that's sitting there on the fence, whether it has enough value to delay that, because it is just by nature going to delay it, you know.
Right.
It's like now for Evernym or any other community agent, like they have a whole nother part of the peer did that they have to implement, test, make sure it works, all that kind of stuff. So I mean, if it's, you know, if everybody's planning on using this use case, then I think there could be a lot of value. If it's just one party's going to do it, it seems like they could go and implement it on their own and then wait till everybody else has need for it, or I don't know. Anyway, that's the only concern I have. I don't think it's hard to implement. I don't think it's a bad thing to implement. It's just, you know, one more thing to do to reach AIP2 compliance.
Sam, is it possible? I'm not sure. Is it possible to have this be added or to a subtarget or something such, or is the nature of it not something that would allow you, it would need to be in the core layer?
Because of its involvement in out-of-band messages, it's hard to discover that the other party supports this or doesn't support it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this is a good option for a subtarget because of that specific ability. Out of band is a little weird in that you typically can't do a feature discovery prior to constructing an out of band message because you haven't yet communicated with the other party.
Yep.
And so that makes this one a little different than others. I think I'm inclined to recommend that this be added because of its use case there. Keith, do you have any final comments?
I think it's an important use case to include in AIPv2 to be able to, yes, to, so I would be for allowing it.
Okay, definitely acknowledge, Devin, your comment about the expansive nature of this. Given all that commentary, is there anyone that wants to oppose the merging of this PR of 651? Okay, we will merge it then. Steven is gone. Daniel, can you, are you in a spot you can merge that?
Sure.
Okay. The next one up, George, I was going to check. Do we have a George? We don't have a George. I didn't know if this one should have been flagged or not. This is changes the presentation definition. This is the Diff Presentation Exchange attachment format RFC. So I think it probably is.
Yeah, it should be tagged. It's a few updates to a few changes and also defining the specific sub target for AIP2.
Okay, so this changes a little bit of language. Timo, do you know enough to comment on this?
Yeah, I haven't read it very thoroughly, but if you go down, there are more changes. And I think it looks great. It's more below. It just defines the, like, which signature suites are supported for AIP2, and that we only support linked data credentials at the moment. So you don't have to support the complete presentation exchange spec to be AIP2 compliant.
Awesome. Also, how do you do this in Markdown? Where's the expandy thing?
I think it's HTML.
Oh, is it the details block?
Yeah.
That's totally what it is. Interesting. Cool. Okay. Sorry, that was like really cool. So I haven't run into that before. So this is the looks like a nice constraint on top of that, so that there are fewer things to support if you're attempting to support this, which is excellent. Any commentary on this particular PR?
What do we lose with these additional constraints? What features do we not have anymore?
In theory, you can have all features. It's just, for example, we don't support JWT credentials, or we don't support, I think, hash links is also a feature. There are some advanced features that we didn't include in the, it's not like they're prohibited, but we both in ECPy and AFGO, we didn't implement it yet, and we didn't find the need for it in the first implementation. I don't know the complete list from the top of my head.
Okay.
It's encouraging that choice is made based on two existing implementations.
I agree. The reason I'm asking is, you know, there's this effort, the PEX project that's starting up, and the intention is to have the use cases of the Good Health Pass initiative serviced by Presentation Exchange in some format, by presentation submissions or definitions. Gosh, can't get it right. And so if we're eliminating features, I just want to make sure we're not eliminating a feature that would be required to support the Good Health Pass stuff.
Yeah, I know, Troy, you commented, you cross-linked the issue. Do you know more about it?
Sorry, which issue did I cross-link? I cross-linked for the envelope V2, so I'm not sure if we're talking about the same things.
Or was that someone else? No, issue 598, I think.
Oh, yeah, I pointed at that. Sorry, yeah, I posted at another discussion, but it wasn't necessarily just related to Good Health Pass. Just I was trying to point out other discussions that are happening on the same topic. Okay.
I think we support a pretty wide range of features in this subsets. It's just, for example, predicates is not something we can do at the moment with BBS signatures, so that's not in there. But we can do some of the pretty complex parts of Presentation Exchange. But it may be good to look at the requirements for that and see if it's if anything is missing in this sub-target.
Daniel, the other thought that I had is that if they want to work with a different set of constraints, then I don't think this super limits us, because we can define that independently for the PEX effort.
Yeah, we can. It would be nice if AIP2 happened aligned to have everything that they needed. So, but it's a nice to have. It's not a hard requirement.
Right. It's also a little bit of a moving target. One of the things that we may be able to do is provide, we can be expansive in sub-targets. We just can't change stuff. So yeah, we could actually add an AIP2 sub-target for PEX that was this, but more expansive. And that would be something acceptable to do given our process. So, that is an excellent point to bring up. Cool. Is anyone opposed to merging this?
Well, it's kind of unmergeable, I noticed.
Is it? Yeah, no, it just needs a review, doesn't it?
No, it needs DCO.
Oh, it needs DCO. Okay. Okay. Yeah. We'll get that. We'll get DCO from George, and then I think we can merge that. I saw the review thing. I didn't see the DCO.
I didn't go through this. I was just checking. Did you guys put only the selective disclosure BBS proof with BBS BLS signature proof, or did you have the plain signatures as well envisioned?
I'm not sure how we would be able to do that. So I think it's restrained to just saying that the signatures should must support it?
Yeah, I was just saying that the signature suite also has that non-proof version, so I wasn't sure how you guys are describing this or not. Because you have ED25519, but you don't have the BBS version.
Yeah, is that something that we want to include?
Oh, it's kind of a general question, right? Because if you want to have a proof of the entire credential, you can do that with BBS as well. It's the equivalent of the ED25519 signature for that particular curve. It's just a question.
Is disclosing, like if we disclose all properties and generate a proof from it, the signature proof will be zero knowledge, right? And just showing the signature, not, or?
Signature proof is the selective disclosure version.
Yeah, but if we choose to reveal all fields, we basically have the same, but with a zero knowledge proof on it, right? So, or is that, so you still gain something from using the signature proof over the signature?
Possibly. I can't say I thought about it very much, Timo. I was just pointing out that signature suite also has that, and it's not defined here. So, we should probably be aware of that, because if we wanted to find, you would have options.challenge and options.domain, I guess. Also in the signature proof side, it is a normal LD signature. So as far as I know, it also supports options.challenge and options.domain. So I'm not sure why it's omitted in the second one and present in the first. So a couple notes on why or questions about the difference here. Because I think you guys are talking about nonce. Nonce is definitely a EBS signature proof specific field. It's an input into the actual signature calculation, whereas challenge and domain are just basically included into the signature.
Right.
As normal fields.
So these fields down below, right, as input parameters?
Yeah, it's just a kind of a question there, if that's supposed to not, if there was a reason that's omitted or not. So definitely nonce you need in signature proof.
Okay, so we're gonna follow up with George for a couple of refinements possibly, and certainly the DCO requirement.
And does anybody know if we're missing something for the GHP stuff? Like, I definitely agree. I wouldn't want to have constrained this to miss something if we are missing something.
I don't know. I think that's going to become obvious in the next probably week or two with the PEX work going on, but it hasn't happened yet, right? So we haven't got to this level of discussion about the particular things that they want to use inside of Presentation Exchange. There has been a discussion of not necessarily supporting every possible option of Presentation Exchange, just to make it easier to implement. But they haven't talked about what those limits are. Okay, so this needs updates before we can merge. Okay. We've huge progress on pull requests. I wanted to briefly touch on the related issues that mattered. 510 is already linked. This is the accepted status one. And then I was gonna, I pinged George on this. I don't think I got a response back yet. And then Troy, you had opened
654.
Yes, you opened this one.
It's just a link to the DIDCOM working group discussion on the same topic.
Oh,
but I thought it'd be good to have like a AIP2 issue so that we don't lose track of it here.
Yes. So this is the discussion that I mentioned in related meetings. There's a this issue. here has the conversation about whether we keep the encryption layer dealing with just keys or key references for the sender. For the recipient, you can use a key reference and it doesn't impact things. There's implications, and so there's a good long discussion here, there'll be more, I'm sure, by the time we get to Monday, and a good Monday one. So if you care about that particular aspect of DIDCOM V2, then that's there. But
and maybe the title should be or both.
Maybe, yes. There's a couple of pathways through this particular minefield. So. Cool. Are there any other issues that people want to talk about specific to AIP2? I feel like we're getting closer and closer and closer. The big thing that we resolved to do today, Stephen volunteered for, which was the Base64 URL encoded stuff, and we should see an update from Stephen for next week. And I think we are getting shockingly close. So that's excellent. Are there any other topics that we have to spend a couple minutes on before we break for the week? All right, Troy, will you follow up with George? Or is that a better Timo task for that particular PR?
I tried to ping him, but I think Timo should also try to ping him. They've been working together on that, so.
Perfect.
I'm mostly just like a pinger right now on that.
Timo, will you follow up with George on that particular PR?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I think we're done then today. Appreciate everyone being here and all the work you do. I hope your week is an excellent one, and we will see you online and next week in our meeting. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.